Heavenly Father, we ask that you would meet us this day in your word. Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes, open our hearts, that we would receive and see Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This is one of my favorite times of the year. It's really actually probably my favorite event of the year because it's like a family reunion. But it's not the kind of family reunion that you have to go to, but sort of dread. You know, where you've got the crazy uncle or the obscene aunt, and you hope that in that gathering nobody brings up politics or race or religion or gender issues or any of the topics that start a fight. Because in fact, if you looked at our workshops, we actually addressed most of these things. I truly delight in our leaders, our churches, and our people in this diocese. And it's so encouraging for me to be together and to watch you together. I'm going to begin in the text we had from 1 Samuel, and we have the account of the Lord rejecting Saul as king. But before we go there, we have to remember that in chapter 9, God told Samuel that Saul was to be the king. This was not what Saul was seeking. In fact, we see Saul say in 1 Samuel 9:21, "But I am not a Benjamite. I'm from the smallest, am I not a Benjamite? From the smallest tribe of Israel. And is not my clan the least of all the clans of the tribe of Benjamin? Why do you say such a thing to me?" This is when Samuel said he was going to be king. You have in chapter 10 that Samuel is anoints Saul as the king. Saul was the Lord's anointed, which is what David actually got. Listen to what Samuel says to Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. "The Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with them, and you will be changed into a different person." And a few verses later, it says that God changed Saul's heart, and all of the signs were fulfilled, that the Spirit came on him powerfully, and he prophesied. And then later in the chapter, when Samuel gathers all the people together to choose by lot who would be the next king, the process led to Saul being chosen. And Saul did not say, "Yes, ooh, here I am. I'm ready to be king." He actually is hiding, and they have to send people to find him. So we have to understand this context that Saul, there's nothing here to say that Saul was arrogant or that he was grasping for power. And yet, by 1 Samuel 15, Saul has turned away from God, and he is rejected as king. So Samuel goes to meet Saul and tell him that the Lord had said to him, as it said in 1 Samuel 15:12, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor, and he's returned and gone on down to Gilgal." So Saul has gone from hiding in the supplies, not wanting to be king, to setting up a monument in his own honor. After Samuel's rebuke, finally, Saul says in 1 Samuel 15:30, "I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord our God." So Saul has confessed that he has sinned, but what follows is so key, because in one sense, what follows nullifies the confession. "Please honor me before the elders and before Israel." Saul wanted to be honored. His concern doesn't seem to be about honoring God in this moment, which actually is the mark of true confession and repentance. His concern is to be honored. So there is a fundamental distinction between those who seek to be honored and those who seek to give honor. We see this in John chapter 3 when John the Baptist's disciples are actually concerned that the one that they have followed is now somehow being dishonored. "Rabbi," they say, "that man who is with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." John's reply shows that his desire is not to be honored, but to honor. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. And that joy is mine. And it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less. John was seeking to honor Jesus. He was not seeking to be honored. Now that last line is one of the most misused verses in Scripture, and I will come back to that a little bit later. I specifically chose seeking to be honored instead of wanting or desiring to be honored. Because the desire to be honored is something we are all actually born with. There is something in this desire to be honored that quite honestly, we are not fully free of this side of the new heavens and the new earth. This desire is present because in the beginning, as it says in Psalm 8, we were those who were crowned with glory and honor. We were made in God's image. Or another way of saying it is probably better, we were made as His image. We were meant to be His glory and His presence in creation. We were the pinnacle of creation. We were charged with the stewardship of creation so that creation itself under our care would reflect God's goodness and His glory. There was no shame in the beginning. In other words, there was no dishonor. And so you see that in Genesis 2:25. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. That sense of feeling fully honored in being fully who you are with nothing to hide. And so in our rebellion in Genesis 3, the image of God that we are created in now becomes corrupted by sin. And Genesis 5 says it well. It says that Adam and Eve were made in the image of God, but Seth is born in the image of Adam, which is the image of God that has been tainted or corrupted by sin. It's the imagery that Paul picks up on in Romans chapter 5. Because of our sin, we are separated from God, enemies of God, those who, as it says in Ephesians 2, deserve nothing but God's wrath. So now there is shame, now there is dishonor. It is not that the image of God is somehow erased, that that's now gone from us, but it is tainted, it is corrupted. And what that means is that there is no part of who we are that is not affected by sin. Our desires, our thoughts, our will are all affected by our sin. So that we are no longer crowned with glory and honor. We are now defined by sin and shame. So if you look at it, the temptation that they faced in the garden by the serpent was partly a temptation to grasp for an honor that is not ours. You shall be like God. Now, of course, the irony of this is that they were already as much like God as they could be. Right? They were made in God's image as His presence and His glory in creation. In our grasping for an honor that is not ours, we lost the honor that is ours. And now our lives are marked by this grasping for honor, which is why you can feel that thing rise up inside when you've been dishonored. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about with that? Just that thing that begins to churn and rise up inside when we have been dishonored. I think we carry enough of the image of God to actually haunt us. That somehow we know that we were meant for something more. Somehow we know that we were meant to be something more. And what happens is, in one sense, we repeat the Genesis 3 story again and again as we grasp for honor and we try to hide our dishonor by the elaborate fig leaves of our accomplishments, our acquisitions, our relationships, whatever our flimsily constructed identities are. We are separated from the one who is the source of glory and honor, or at least the source of the glory and honor that is deep and lasting, because there actually is a glory and an honor that this world does offer. But while it does fill us up, it's never enough and it never lasts. It does not answer the deep longing in our bones to be seen, to be honored, to know that who we are matters. In hiking up mountains here in Colorado, when you're hiking up a 14er, there is something that's called a false summit. So you're hiking up, you've been gaining altitude, you've been doing the switchbacks, and you see the top of the mountain. And that gives you this kind of adrenaline rush, like, I am almost there. And so your pace increases, and you go to where you thought the summit was, and you get there, and you realize, oh, this isn't the summit. It's still up there. There's still actually a way to go. It's a false summit. And if you've ever done this, you know that this can actually be incredibly demoralizing. Because you think you're about there, and you find out that you're not. The honor that the world offers is just an endless series of false summits. You never actually get there. And when you think that you arrive at the place where it's going to be there, you find out that you're always left with more that you have to try to attain. And the problem is that often we are convinced, not necessarily in our heads, but in our hearts, that we can follow God and still seek to be honored ourselves, that somehow that this is compatible. But our seeking to be honored is diametrically opposed to honoring God. And this is what we see in 1 Samuel 15. If we are seeking to be honored, if that is what is driving us, then we actually cannot seek to honor others except as a means to gain our own honor. And we will not seek to honor God. Our lives are therefore too bent in on ourselves to ever joyfully say, as it says in Psalm 115, "Not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness." Now we can say it, but we will tend to say it out of a sense of duty, or we would tend to say it out of a sense of self-loathing about how awful I am and therefore how good you are. And that is not the heart of this verse, and it misses the heart of the gospel. Saul is seeking to be honored. What is interesting is what the Lord says that is behind Saul's actions. 1 Samuel 15:17, literally it says, "Although you are small in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel." At the heart of Samuel's rebuke is he's rebuking Saul because Saul is small in his own eyes, that he is feeling insignificant, even though the Lord had anointed him as the king over Israel. And that sense of anointing as the king over Israel, it's not just that he was chosen, that he was empowered for this. And because Saul is small in his own eyes, because he's feeling insignificant, he is grasping for honor. See, Saul wasn't living into who the Lord had anointed and made him to be. He lost who he was, and he was grasping to be honored. That actually is what defines Saul from this point forward. This is what actually gives birth to the anger and rage that we see that Saul has against David and even later against his own son, Jonathan. There is a huge difference between Saul being small in his own eyes and what John the Baptist says in John 3:30, "He must increase, I must decrease." This verse is often misapplied to mean that somehow I need to negate who I am. That the more that I negate who I am, the more I give room for Jesus in my life. That I just need to negate who I am, empty myself so that Jesus can be more in my life. We twist sanctification into somehow being something about repressing who we are, getting rid of who we are, so that we can make more room for Jesus in me. As if it is a closed system or a math equation, where there is sort of a limited space in our souls, and I need to get rid of me so that I can make more room for Jesus in this box that is my soul. Or that somehow I need to be less who I am so that Jesus can work through me more powerfully. So we can pray at times, "Lord, I need to decrease, you need to increase," and it sounds pious, but if that is what is behind our understanding of this, it actually is Eastern mysticism and it is not the Christian message. John was speaking about his role. He was the one who came to prepare the way for the Messiah to come. Now that the Messiah is here, I don't need to prepare the way anymore. My work is finished. He's come. I have finished the work that I've had of preparing. John wasn't speaking about who he was. He wasn't speaking about his identity. He wasn't speaking about his personality. And you read the Gospels, John had quite a personality. And God worked through his personality, worked through him powerfully. You say it this way: Jesus did not die on the cross to negate who we are. He died on the cross to redeem us so that we can step more fully into who we are as his redeemed. It is not a negation of self that we find in faith, but the restoration, sanctification, and even elevation of self, because as he comes in us and he works in us, we become more fully who we were originally meant to be. It is not a closed system. It is not less me so that there can be more Jesus. The reality is that the more Jesus there is, the more me I am. So it's not less me, more Jesus. It's more Jesus, more me. The more fully we become who God has intended for us to be. Which means that sanctification, growing in grace, holiness, is not about repressing who we are, but is about stepping into who we are redeemed to be. That sense of the image restored by the work of Jesus on the cross and applied into our lives by God the Holy Spirit, working out what God has worked in us. Now, this is actually the reason why the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins so that we can confess and repent. Because sin dehumanizes us. Sin pulls us farther away from who we were meant to be in the image of God. The sin that we engage in actually pulls us farther away from our identity in Christ, which means that it pulls us into striving and grasping to be honored. Confession of our sin pulls us back to grace and our complete dependence on God. What we often miss is that if we live as if we are insignificant, what we are fundamentally saying is that the cross is insignificant, that God somehow made a mistake. The closer we come to the cross, the closer we come to the wonder of who Jesus is and the wonder of what he has done for us, the less insignificant we will feel. And the more we will know and rejoice in that we are children of God, those that he now delights in, those who belong. See, this is actually why honor begins in the home, in the child's heart. As a first principle of honoring father and mother. Because in a healthy home, the child knows that they are loved. The child knows that they are delighted and they know that they are seen and safe. And so they learn that actually to honor is not something you do to diminish yourself to exalt the parent. Right? That this sense of honor is wrapped in this love and this delight and this life. See, when I know that I am God's beloved child, there is no greater honor. Not because I have somehow earned it or deserve it. It is purely his gift of grace. I've said it this way before, that God doesn't love me because I am lovable. Because he is love. But the corollary is actually his love makes me lovable. Makes me a beloved child of God. If we know the honor we have in being a son or daughter of the King of Kings, then we aren't seeking to be honored because there is no greater honor. So the corollary of we love because he first loved us is that we honor because he first honors us. That is what his rescue does. It honors us. And then we can say joyfully, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and your faithfulness. When we know this honor that is ours through Jesus, we are then able to seek to honor others. And we are able then to seek to honor God. And that means that we can actually bear the dishonor that always will come our way. Spoiler alert, the world, the flesh, and the devil don't take vacations. Always working to diminish and convince us that we are insignificant. Always working to try to convince us that God only tolerates us. And when that finds traction, and we become small in our own eyes, and we forget who we are, and when we don't stand into the finished work of the cross, we become completely self-conscious and self-protecting and unable to truly seek to honor others. If we think that our honor and our identity and our worth are tied to what we do, how smart we are, how well I do, or how great my relationships are, it actually works for a while, but it does not last. Which means that we always end up being small in our own eyes. I had this experience a little over 2 months ago, and I hadn't recovered as I was hoping I would recover, so I actually had to ask myself this question. What if this is the new normal? I mean, what if I actually don't get better? There is a chance that that's true. And I thought, I'd have to step down from being a bishop. I was surprisingly at peace with that. Now, I love what I get to do in serving this diocese, and I love you. So it wasn't like, man, I would be glad to be rid of this burden. That was not it at all. But I had to ask, why do I have peace around that? Because my identity and my worth is not tied to my role. That is not where honor is found. So the question we have to look at is, what do we choose to define us? What are the things that we allow to define us? What is it that we then find ourselves seeking to be honored instead of seeking to honor? Now, not one of us here is able to seek to honor instead of being honored all the time. And we do not get there by trying hard to get there. Please do not walk away from this thinking. The message is, try harder to honor others. Try harder is never good news. I would say we get there by cultivating a fear of the Lord. See, a fear of the Lord, what often begins with this sense of dread that comes when God's holiness exposes our sinfulness and that we know that we deserve nothing but judgment. We have to understand that the fear of the Lord is not a static thing, that it is a journey. And often that sense of dread that comes when we are exposed before God, it is the first step of that journey. Now, if you read through the Old Testament, you can see that the fear of the Lord most often describes worship. It most often describes seeking to honor instead of seeking to being honored. That is somehow, it's key to worship, that we are seeking to honor God instead of seeking to honor ourselves. But it is actually a response to His movement. It is a response to seeing how He honors us. We honor because He first honors us. So the fear of the Lord is a journey, and it takes us on this journey from the overwhelm of our inadequacy, the overwhelm of our sin, to the overwhelm of His holy love and His holy grace. That we see that His redemption is so much greater than my sin, which is then what opens the door for us to know the grace and the gift of His love, the gift of His delight in us, and the honor that He gives us. Shame, dishonor keeps us self-focused and self-conscious. Receiving the honor that He gives us frees us from being self-conscious. Just like I rise up inside when I hear somebody pray in the wrong way, he must become greater, I must become less. There is something also that rises up in me when it sounds pious to say, listen, it's not about me, it's about God. The incarnation and the crucifixion and the resurrection shows that it is actually profoundly about us. This is why He came. But that is what allows us to live our lives not about us. Right? His work is about me, which means that I don't have to be about me, because God is, that He is the one, that Jesus takes my dishonor, that I could be honored, that I could be lifted into His glory. So when we find ourselves battling, what we do is we go into His presence. We go into His Word, we go into worship, which is about honoring Jesus, but actually it is first about receiving His honoring of us. It's that place of soaking in the gospel and asking the Holy Spirit to meet us in the places where we feel insignificant, to meet us in the places we are small in our own eyes, to meet us in those places where we find that we are taking offense at how we are being dishonored, to meet us in the places where we find that we are grasping to be honored instead of seeking to honor, to meet us where envy is rotting our bones, so that He can restore us to the work of the cross applied into our lives, so that we then can stand as His children, that we can then stand as His church, bearing His glory and His honor into this world. The key thing is, we can't do this alone. We need people in our lives who can help us see when we move from seeking to honor to being those who seek to be honored. And we need others to walk with us because seeking to be honored always isolates us. Sin always isolates us because it makes us self-conscious and self-focused. And something about inviting others into this journey, it breaks the power of isolation, it breaks the power that sin brings. And we remind each other of the gospel. I need to be reminded of the gospel every day. I need to be reminded of the gospel every day. This is one of the reasons that in this time, we will have prayer teams as we have communion. And part of that is to provide the space for us to come with somebody else. If there's something that this stirs up in you where you realize, I actually am grasping to be honored. And it's not that we look at, I am grasping to be honored as the sin that weighs us down. It is recognizing that that is a warning bell that somewhere I feel insignificant. Somewhere shame or dishonor is defining me. Somewhere I have lost who I am, and the work of the cross is not being applied into my life fully by God the Holy Spirit. And I need you to help me there. Please pray for these things with me. It's that place of coming into His presence together where we give space for the Holy Spirit to do His work. Let's pray. Father, we come before you stunned that you honor us. That when we were running away from you, you pursue, you rescue, you lift us up. And that in that process, your desire is not to negate who we are, but to make us more fully who you intend for us to be more fully ourselves in you, in the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing our weakness, knowing our complete dependence on you. Mm-hmm. Spirit of God, would you move? Mm-hmm. Would you do your surgery to reveal those places to us where we are grasping to be honored. Those places where we feel insignificant. Those places where the taunts of the world, the flesh, and the devil have found their mark. That we could come into your presence, know your love, know your delight. Be freed from the place of grasping and receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.